You might want to open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Ecclesiastes and chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you again for thy word, for thy grace. Thank you very much. Thank you for being and doing all that makes everything come out right. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the light of the day, Memorial Day, remembering those that paid the price that we might have this occasion. So therefore, keeping in mind Memorial Day, Declaration Day, liberty, liberty, liberty and justice for all. So, picking up, if I can, Ecclesiastes, just a little bit of pieces to help us as we proceed. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and may I note in the light, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Sliding all the way down to verse 8. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Everything has its place. In the light of humanity, in the light of how things are going, and have how they have gone, and moving through history. So keeping that in mind, a time to not live, a time to die, a time for war, a time for peace. That's our whole world history. Now, having said that, chapter 8. So we're not surprised of war and dying. Those are normal events in human existence. Chapter 8. And we are reminded, chapter 8, picking up please, in verse 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, because we have to live through the ups and downs, the easy, the hards, the war, the peace. It isn't a picnic. We're glad to have a space where it isn't so bad. Verse 7. For he knoweth not that which shall be, and we don't. We have no idea of this afternoon. For who shall tell him when it shall be? There is, in other words, we're trying to figure out how to survive and come out of this. Verse 8. There is no man that hath power. The word power is the word rule, to rule over, to govern. There is no man that hath power over the spirit, to retain the spirit. In other words, you can't just keep avoiding death. You just can't do that. You can't say, I'm not going to die, I'm not going to die, I'm not going to die. You're 130, it's time to die. Yeah, you can't, we aren't in control. Verse 8, there is no man that hath power, rule over his spirit, to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power, rule, might, in the day of his death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. In other words, it's a problem. A time to die, a time of war. To say there isn't any, there is one, all the time. All the time we face, we live in it. A power, we can't avoid death, it's there. There are, I don't know, thousands of people dying right now across the world. We have no idea. People in the war, wars, not just in Ukraine and elsewhere. In the wars, dying, 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 people dying, children dying. Lots and dying. It's our world we live in. It's the world we live in. Now, having said that, And there is no discharge, no R&R, recreation and relief. There's no break. There's no time off. There's no vacation from this. It's war and dying, in one form or another. Always there. It doesn't go away. So therefore I want that kept in my little mind. God, I have to understand, death and dying are inevitable. They're just there in one form or another, at one time or another. Now, secondly, over if you would please to Luke. And in Luke and chapter 16. And in Luke chapter 16, we have the account of Abraham and Lazarus at the point where they have died. And God gives the illustration to help us understand in Sheol, Hades, the people that die. So therefore, and everyone's going to die, and there's always war. So, sliding down, if I can, to verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf, Abraham and Lazarus, a great gulf fixed, so that they would pass from thence, so that they which would pass from death, pass from hence to you, cannot. In other words, you can't bridge, you can't go across the chasm, you can't go from one place to the other. From hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, that they would come from thence. In other words, there's no way to fix the guy in the bad place, and the guy in the good place has to stay. They can't, no changing. Verse 27, then he said, I pray then, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. Now, I can't change, I'm in the bad place. Verse 28, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them that they also come into this place of torment. I don't want them to be where I am. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Abraham, father, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. In other words, someone come back from the grave. If we can get somebody from the grave to come back and tell us, to get after us. Verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So to bring back somebody that died and to tell you what's what, to help to help us, you can't do that. So we die in war, and once you die, you die, and there's no way to bridge the gap for us in time to go into timelessness. There's no way to do that. Now God, here we are, John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, picking up please, you'll recall it, verse 24. Verily, verily, 5 and 24, our Lord said of all kinds of places, verily, verily, most assuredly I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but is passed from death unto life. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11, 25. He that believeth in me will never die. Verse 26, do you believe that? Do you believe you'll never die? So here's war and death, always there. You can't go from one place to the other. You can't go from time to timelessness, and you can't come from timelessness to time. You can't change anything. It's there. So God, what have you done? You've done something wonderful, that we who are born dead in sins, separated, missing, God's missing from our life, needs to be restored. We go from death to life by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, hang on to that, because our country was founded 226 years old, or whatever it is at the moment, since 76. And in the process, there was Israel, but Israel didn't do well. And then all the countries are there, and all the countries are there, and the Reformation, and all of these things. And as they proceeded down the corridor of time, the pilgrims came over, because the systems, the countries where Christianity and where believers were unable to pursue God's word, God's intent of grace, to show his grace. So the pilgrims came over and stayed, and then finally ended up in the Revolutionary War, and then the Civil War. And in the process, as went through the wars, because what are we trying to do? They were trying to go and preserve a wonderful, wonderful heritage, Civil War, etc. Now, so in the Civil War dead and all of that, and in the process of all of those that died, they're looking for the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence is there. Here's all these grapes in the Civil War, dead, in 1868. They added all armed forces, dead. Now, here's the cemeteries. Here's the cemeteries with all the crosses and the stones. Here they all are. And they celebrate Veterans Day, or Memorial Day, Declaration Day, in the light of all these people that have died, in order to preserve what? 1776, the Declaration of Independence. And here is a copy of the Constitution and Declaration. It's just those few pages. Constitution and Declaration. Not 7 zillion pages to tell you how to vote or something else. This is what they died for. That's why they went. They were struggling to outwork these truths. That's what they were doing. There was no other reason. They didn't go for the fun of it. Some may have. They like killing, that may be, but that's very rare. They went and gave their lives for this. The whole ballgame of this country. There is no other, think of the pilgrims. Here's all the countries of the world. Israel is in unbelief, and here's our little country, just growing along. 1776 is a constitution, etc. Declaration, I should say. And in the process of all of that, that's what it's about. They're all going to go, and they're going to remember. They're going to be mindful of the fact, why did we all die? Why did we die? In order to preserve what? Our founding fathers, 56 of them, 61 ultimately, they what? They signed to the point of death to keep this. That's what they did. They put their lives on the line, literally, for us. That's what they did. That's why they went and died. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so here's our republic. And our republic, not a democracy, you know that. The democracy isn't used. You won't find the word in here. There is no democracy. It's the republic for which we stand. It's unique. Why is it unique? Because there's nothing else like it. The church has gone, the countries won't let the church exist as it should. Systems won't let it exist. And here's our country that wants to get Judeo-Christian culture, our background. That's what we are. They're from the Bible. That's what they did. That's why you got where you got this. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so they're going to pay a price to keep the republic. And it's going to, they're going to honor it with their death. That's what they're doing. They have a wonderful, wonderful commitment. We need to have a wonderful, wonderful commitment. They did. And what did they do it for? So that we could have a commitment. They didn't, so we didn't lose it. So this didn't go in the wastebasket. That's why they did it. So we could have something. Have what? To sit? No. To be able to do something that is being hard to find in the whole world system, in all of time. To pursue God in the light of His Word. Wow. Now hang on to that. And keeping that in mind, we hold the second paragraph in this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And remember, happiness, what did happiness mean? Noah Webster, back then, what did, when they put happiness, what did the word mean? It didn't mean happy hour, you understand? It didn't mean that. Happiness. Happiness, the pursuit and enjoyment of good, G-O-O-D. Happiness is the enjoyment of good, good, not bad. Good, God, the enjoyment of God. Now, hang on to that. That's what they're doing. And I need to understand that. The people of the cemeteries need to understand that. Now, so in the process, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. So Israel failed its assignment. Deuteronomy chapter 4, etc. And they had a wonderful assignment to bear witness to God. But you know what? They failed. And they failed. The day's coming. They're going to do well when the Lord returns. But not until then. So Israel has failed. We mentioned the pilgrims. And the pilgrims come along and raise up our nation, George Washington and all of them. And all of them come along and we have a Declaration of Independence and we have an understanding and we need to be believing of what we are living. So living in this relationship to God, we need to exercise that relationship which we're supposed to be having. Therefore we have, and when they did this, Constitution. They were conscious of all the different societies and the dictatorships and kingships and everything. And they were conscious of the Bible, very much so. So they understood the Exodus, the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments to get us to God. The next ones coming down, verse 12 to 17, are about our relationship to people. How are we supposed to live on earth? We're supposed to have a relationship to God, first four commandments, so that we can, that relationship to God helps us live with each other, the commandments that are left. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and we're to worship. So the Bill of Rights comes along, Bill of Rights, Constitution, the Bill of Rights in there, And the Bill of Rights are written there. What are they supposed to be? The truth. The truth will set us free. Now, having said that, in Romans chapter 8, and so God is going to help us and understand. One thing before that, I admit, made a note. George Washington said, in the light of looking at what they had done, this declaration, truth will ultimately prevail where pains are taken to bring it to light. If you're ignorant of this, and people that are in power don't know this, then there is not, this isn't there. This isn't there. No one knows it. Do they understand? Are they going to practice it? No. No, they say it. Keep the Constitution. That's, most of the time, that's a joke. Now, so in the process, to guard, and, that Thomas Jefferson, if we are to guard against ignorance and remain free, it is the responsibility of every American to be informed. George Washington, you better know this, Thomas Jefferson, make sure you help people understand this. Now, that isn't happening. Hang on. That isn't happening there. You're right. If you're still in John, got it open, turn a couple of pages just to see it again. Chapter 8. And picking up, the Jews want to know how to get truth, how to understand. Chapter 8, sliding down to verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you may or may not do it, if you believe, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, truly. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Reality, truth, reality. Wonderful, wonderful realness of God, of truth, of right, of good, etc. Now, and the truth will make you free. So, in the process now, that's what we need to know, the truth. The world system loves darkness rather than light. And so if you don't have any light, and I turn off all the lights, then you can't see. And if you can't see, everyone can call what they want. Here's the color chart I used then, color chart. And anyone can point to the color chart at any spot in their blindness and call it whatever they want. Because there is no blind. I can't see. So we're all, and we get a group that say blue and a group that say green. Neither one of them are valid, but they can all do it. Our governments, our ways of religions, we got them all there. They're all there. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, the truth, light, liberty, the truth will set you these truths. But you don't know these truths. The truths are in God's word, and the declaration infers that. So, looking to God to pursue, and in the process, moving quickly, in the process, they didn't. Here's our founding of our country. And then you have the First World War, and we did all that. You know, the Council of Foreign Relations came out of the other, and in the process, at the end of the First World War, 1919, and all of that, and it came to the end, and in the process, they continued to what? What were they looking for at the end of the First World War? A world government to make the world one government. Wars, we don't want to have wars. We want to unite, have a government. That's the Council of Foreign Relations. Now, and then, of course, they wanted the world government, so that got the council. And the council went along, and the council was very powerful, and the council led to other things, one of which was the Trilateral Commission in 1973, David Rockefeller and that. Jimmy Carter, you know that, some of you. And Jimmy Carter, a dear president, and he went, and instead of siding with Taiwan and that, he went and sided with China and Russia. Communist at Russia. That's what he did. He shouldn't have done that. That's why we had the 70s. Now, so in the process, you say, no, all I'm trying to do is help you see. If you're trying to look at history, history is war and time of war, time to die, and there's no way to people are recovering, learning anything. If I come back from the dead, I'll tell them. But it doesn't work that way. So we just keep going. And that's why we are where we are right now. And what we have now, as you know, you have the Great Reset and all of these different programs, big powers. Canada, our own country, is under the Great Reset. And so in the process of Canada, I heard the guy say, whoever it is up there, the boss up there, he said, we're pursuing the Great Reset. And then you have the Government for Impact, GFM, Government for Impact, George Soros. And you got that big organization. Whew, man, are they powerful over there. You know, they're using it all. And I did. I think we put the paper back there. I may be back there. The on my heaven. If it isn't there, look on the thing with the giant, 10-story giant, coming out of Ireland. There. I don't want to get into it. Anyway, they're building this 10-story monster. A giant, like a mummy, great big monster, and he's going to be so electronic driven. And he's going to be in 21 cities, these big giants, and then they're all going to intercommunicate with each other electronically, telling, and people are looking to them to guide, to govern them, etc. And then what? Revelation 13, God puts up, the devil puts up his image in the temple and speaks and does all, that's what these are going to do, speak, move. Wow. Anyway, it's an interesting thing, especially if you like giants, you know. Yeah, you'll like it. They're back there. Anyway, they're worth reading. You say it can't be. But listen, I'm telling you. You say all this stuff, Revelation 13 could never happen. Boy, you better rethink that one. Wow. Now, so, in the process, the government for impact, etc. And all of them are taking advantage of the global conditions, the virus that was there, and the global warming. They use global warming. They're using all, taking advantage of it. And so you got warming, you got Marxism, communism, socialism, materialism, humanism. All of those things are there. Wow, they're there. Ah, now all of them are there. And I say all those words. I could say them slowly. What's the difference? You know. If I said them slow or fast, materialism, socialism, communism, how much do you know about materialism, communism, really? How much do you know about, do you understand its influence in the whole of the world system that we live in? And you may or may not. But then I'm going to get to where another thought you may need to understand this Memorial Day, because we aren't listening. We haven't picked up the message of Memorial Day, to remember those that died. They died in order that we could continue. With what? Socialism? No. Communism? No. Materialism? No. With understanding our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to be able to have something. But in the corruption that continues to be greater corruption. And so now we've got, here we got, here's the thing in Texas again, and the children being killed. Now, what do we know? You'll hear it sometime, but you don't hear it enough to get it. People aren't doing a thing about it. They're doing everything but fixing it. And you have to understand what happens. If you were a boy or girl, I'm going to try to be your boys and girls, fortunately, I won't make any mistake. There's no it's out there. So, boy, a girl. Now here you are, and you're growing up in this world with parents, how marriages, how families are, in the light of job, work, home. Just imagine, people are in them. And then you're going to come along, and you've been educated for your whole life. You've been educated with what? By the system, the educational system, for the most part, especially young people, and they got that. And all they've got is that educational system. Not the educational writing arithmetic and understanding. No, it's a socialism, a philosophy. And I've been raised in that. Make believe, I've been raised in that. And here I am. I don't have a good, solid mother and father. My mother and father aren't in an understanding way to stand up against everything. They're sort of caught up in it. So I'm trying to survive what I'm doing. And I'm going to school. They don't understand what I'm going in school. That we don't know whether we're boys or girls, bathrooms and whatever, genders, all of that. I don't know whether boy or girl. And if I say I'm a boy, then they go after me. And if I say I'm a girl, then they go after me. So it's just a very, very difficult time. And the schools, they aren't helping me. The peer group, the race thing, and all, who's the bad guy, who's the good guy, and we got to look down on somebody and look, never look up to God. And so here we all are in this system. And the system is there. And I live in it. I hear it. I don't, the news. We can't, the crime, we don't persecute. We don't fix anything. We don't, because we can't fix it. What's the whole point? To make it so that the society we live in can't find law and order. The whole point. Their point. To get rid of the fact that you'll be looking for police to do anything right. And when they get that, then there is no law and order. And that's the movement. You understand? Now, put that in. Here's my little head. And if I'm not straight down the line or something, and I'm trying to figure out all of these, and I got frustration, you got suicide, you got all these different things. And so here's the kids growing up. They're growing up. The gangs, the crossing the border, the drugs, the law, no law enforcement from my little world I live in, on the looking my phone, smartphone, and all of that. That's my world. All frustrated. What do you expect me to be? Do you expect me to be a healthy teenager? Do you think I'm going to be understand what I'm doing? You've created me. You have created the monster. And they aren't looking at it. They aren't going to fix the gays and everything, because that's their agenda. That isn't the big agenda of Soros. Soros is after bigger than that. This is just a little agenda to keep everything in upheaval. I say all that because people say, isn't it terrible that our own governor and everything, state, oh, we're poor, what do we do about it? I can just hear them. What do we do? Stop what you fix it. But you can't fix it because the one next to me is the same mindset that the other. One's a boy, one thinks he's a boy, the other thinks he's a girl. They're both head of the Department of Transportation and government. You say, what do I do? I don't fix it. So I don't talk about it. So when do you expect to get it fixed? You can't build this society. As it is, where it's going, don't be surprised. We've asked for it, and we're reaping it. We're reaping what we have sown. And so sitting down and 14 little kids, and God bless them. He will. Hang on. Now, do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? The system is such. And the Declaration and all the wonderful truth of Memorial Day, they observe it, but they don't observe it. And there are dear people that are sincere. Military men, they gave their life. But I don't hear out of them, and I know you do. I don't hear out of them. Do you understand what's happening to our country? Just making sure they would appreciate their uniform. Thank you for serving my country, you see. That's wonderful. But boy, we better have more than that going on. So now, that's my half a thought to you. Now, so in the process, if you would, and so the people are doing what they do, and we're all exercised, affected, as society goes down the corridor of time, if you're looking for getting better, I don't see it. I just don't see it. How can it be? How can you get better when you aren't in the tunnel to follow the light out there, head to the light. We aren't heading to the light. Our system is going into the dark, wrong way. And you won't see the light. There won't even be any light. To see, you're going far enough. Wow. So now in the process, we need to be rightly motivated. And our Constitution, men died willing to protect these wonderful truths. Not only to protect these truths, to pursue, to go after these truths. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to pursue it. Your children, how many children understand? That's why they're able to live in this country and enjoy what? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How many children are with a little bit of intelligence pursuing life? Liberty. Liberty is a very strange word to all of the countries of this world. A very strange word, liberty. Pursuit of happiness? No. Now, keeping that in mind, for good or bad, and therefore God provides these truths, that's why we can still talk about it, a declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to the protection, the protection of divine providence, God's management, divine providence, God. That's what they signed their names, in the back of it, 56 of them, signed their names. Wow. In order to what? That's what they did. It was going to cost them, could cost them their life, because they're going to be hunted by the British, etc., and process of all these different things, all they did. And so they understood that it was no picnic that they were going into. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I was willing to give their life to it, to sign their name. Put your name on the line. Put your life on the line. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, please, in your Bible to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And people, old and young, need to be encouraged to understand, stop, get their mind clear of all this junk that's in their head, and someone direct them to think right, to get right. Otherwise, it's going to go from bad to worse. Because then the next generation is even worse than this one. So, 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And we aren't going to remember those stones and those crosses and those men that died by just saying, being there, and then walking away and forgetting it. No, I need to be pursuing on a daily basis, weekly basis, God's wonderful right to be an American citizen, to pursue the way, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All the people crossing the border, do they understand the Constitution? How's that? Are they crossing the border by thousands, millions? Do they understand this? Is anyone asking them to understand this? No. So you get a whole new, they don't even know what you're talking about. 2 Corinthians. And you'll notice, please, chapter 4. And that which you're familiar with, but lock it in. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give us light in our darkness. Where is the light? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where is the light? When I receive Christ as my Savior, He is the light. He is my life. He brings to me God so that I can understand my reason I am here on planet Earth. Why was I born? Why am I here? Why are things like they are? God, I need to look to you to have understanding. And verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We aren't powerful. We aren't big giants. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God. It isn't anything about us. It's about God's wonderful, wonderful grace in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, if you would recall, in the Arlington Cemetery is a great marble block, a singular rectangular block of marble. And that singular block of marble was chiseled in one piece, chiseled down to be as it is today, a monument. Down. And in the process, there are three symbolic figures in the front, and in the back, some words. And if you've been there, I remember being there, and some of you have been there, I'm sure, and they're watching the military precisely, precision. You couldn't disturb them. Everything's moving, doing it around that tomb. Wow. Awesome. They just line up. Man, I got to tell you. Like, you think the Queen of England had them with the people standing there. Wow, these guys had it over them, even. Wow, it seems. Now, having said that, here's this tomb. And in the tomb is an unknown soldier. And the unknown soldier, if you want a little thing, the unknown soldier is there. And in the process, they went in France, and in, I think it was in 1921, and they went and took, and from Germany, the group in Germany, military Americans that were in Germany after the war, and they went and took six men at random, and flew them over to France to a chapel. And in the process, those six men were met by a commander, an officer, and the officer had the six men stand in front of this chapel. And the six men were there in front of the chapel, and the officer went and said, if I can quote it, "Men, it is my task to choose one of you to perform a great and sacred duty," unquote. And then, holding a bouquet of roses, a whole bunch of roses, there's six men, and here's a bunch of roses. And then the officer was choose one of the six. He had no idea about any of them. He chose one of the six, who happened to be Sergeant Edward Younger. And Sergeant Edward Younger was then given the whole bouquet of roses. And then he was given the assignment to go into the chapel. And there were four caskets, 1, 2, 3, 4. And he was to take a rose, not the roses, one rose, out of the bouquet and place it on one of those caskets. He came out. That is how you got the unknown soldier. Totally, totally, wonderfully making it so that you, six men, out of the six, which one, we don't know. Out of a dozen, 20 roses, but only one rose. Which rose is it? Which four of the caskets is it? That was determined by where he put the one rose. And that is the soldier, the unknown soldier, that lies under the tomb, the marble. He's the unknown soldier. And then later they added two more from the Second World War and the Korean War. They added two more under there. Now, so having said all that, and now the inscription, you got that. It's just wonderful how they did it. Because which one? You can't ever say. Because we don't even have any. It was so done in such a way that no one would ever know that it was anything. It just happened. The unknown soldier. Now, so in the process of this, God, in his wonderful grace, went, and the words in the back of that monument are, "Here, H-E-A-R, here rest, here, H-E-H-E-R-E, here rest in honored glory, an American soldier, here rest in honored glory, an American soldier, underlined in my mind, known only to God. And I thought of all the dead, over the 10,000 up in the Connecticut Valley, over 10,000. Wow. I looked at it, said, wow, who knows? God knows. So why do we give our lives for this? We did. It hasn't gone anywhere, at least at this point, and we aren't in good shape at all. So God, you've got to help us. Now God, that's how we got the unknown soldier, and we have to understand that all the people that died, the children that died, God knows. God knows. And that's where you rest. God knows. And you rest in that. Genesis 18:25. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Absolutely. No mistakes. Wow. God knows. But Christ died for every one of us. And one man whom God knows, God sent his son, so that whosoever, for all the whole bunch of us, can get saved in a most wonderful way because they gave their lives. And we have the freedom to speak and mumble and try to think about things correctly and do them and honor them. No. That's what we do. I think it's wonderful. In closing, Romans 8. Oh, no. Romans. Do you get Romans? Try Hebrews. Hebrews 11. I hope I'm okay. Hebrews 11, picking up, please, in verse 13. These, speaking of Old Testament, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, they all died, and in all kinds of ways with wars and everything, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly, so you don't have to guess at it, that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. In other words, if there was a way to find it, I'd go back and find my oasis. But, verse 16, now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Therefore God is not ashamed to call their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And what are they looking for? They are looking for Jerusalem. The saved Jew back then was looking for God and God's wonderful plan. That's what they were looking for. Now what are we looking for? We're looking for what is soon coming. In the meantime, what they died for, what they did to make possible that I could open this declaration, I could have a Bible, and I could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in very simple, wonderful, trusting him to save my soul. And I can do that. I have the freedom to do that, to pursue happiness, God's goodness, life his, liberty, the truth will set me free, happiness, God's wonderful goodness. Wow. And I can pursue it. The tomb of the unknown soldier takes care of the dead so that the living have their opportunity to be saved. Otherwise, death and war and all that lies ahead isn't going to go away. Our Father and God, we thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you, God, that we can think and rethink. And God, help that the dear people that are so caught up and so confused, so bothered with who they are and what they are and what's going on, and the inability, the lack of any solution being done to solve things rightly. So God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Help us, for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, deal with the head and heart. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. God, it's just us, just me. That's all it is. God, help us. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.